Hi, welcome to the Christian American Man Podcast. This podcast examines what it means to be a husband, a son, a father, and a man in 21st century America. I'm your host, Phil Wilson, and together we will talk about all things Christian, all things American, and all things manly. And now, on to the podcast. Hey, folks. Phil Wilson, Christian American Man, back with you again today. So this is episode 20 of Christian American Man. This week's episode is going to air on the week of Mother's Day. And with most areas still pretty restricted by the COVID-19 quarantines with regard to restaurants, I know that some may be operating at 50% capacity, but it's going to be difficult to get a seat and a restaurant for Mother's Day. So today we're going to be taking a look at what it takes to cook a great steak. I think that cooking a steak is an essential talent that most men should master, and especially whenever it comes to doing something good for your wife or your mom or the significant other in your life. I think it's good for us to have that talent. Now, I understand that some folks may be vegan or vegetarian, and I'm not going to make any jokes about being a bad hunter or anything like that. I respect that some folks have a life choice for religious or health reasons not to eat meat, but I think that a lot of us that are men, you like to eat meat and like to eat steak. And I think a lot of our families like to eat steak. And I will tell you that as a man that grew up on a farm with beef cattle, cooking and eating steak is a part of my life. Several years ago, I had a doctor that was treating me for a bout of gout that I had at the time. And he asked me if I ate a lot of beef. And I looked at him and I said, "Look at me, doc. Do I look like I eat a lot of beef?" And he laughed and said, "Yeah." He wondered if I had cooked it first. So that's where I come from. And I will tell you that in my house, I cook the steak probably 99% of the time. So let's take a few minutes. Let's look at what I consider to be a very manly life skill and talk about selecting and cooking the perfect steak and just what goes into this. If you get this right, you'll make sure that your spouse or girlfriend is happy and you won't go hungry. So here are the 5 tips that I have today for cooking the perfect steak. So first, we need to select the right cut of meat. A cow is an animal with 4 legs that walks around most of the time. I bet all of you knew that. Now, those 4 legs get a lot of exercise, and as such, they tend to be tougher. So if you're looking for a tender cut, you want to go for the muscle tissue that is the farthest from the ground, in the middle of the animal, so to speak. And that's cuts like ribeyes, beef tenderloin or filet, depending on, you know, where you get it and what it's called. T-bones, porterhouses, those are those kind of cuts that tend to come from the middle section of the cow, and they tend to be the best, most tender steaks. If your budget can't handle that, you may want to think about a chuck steak that's a cut from a chuck roast or a sirloin. But remember that even the highest price cuts are cheaper than eating out. So when you can, go for quality if you can. Finally, if you're cutting the steak from a larger piece of meat or you're having it done by a butcher, make sure that you have it cut perpendicular to the grain of the muscle. That makes it more tender, and it makes it easier to cook and to eat. So secondly, we need to think about preparation. Are you going to do a rub? Are you going to season it? Are you going to do a marinade? I like a little seasoning, but I tend to err on the side of simplicity. There are a lot of options out there. Just think about the preferences of not only you, but those that you're feeding. I like things a little spicy, a little hot, but my wife does not, so I tend to season milder for her sake. Sometimes a marinade like a teriyaki or a pineapple juice can provide a natural tenderizer, but some folks don't like that sweet taste. And so, again, all of that's up to you. but you want to season your beef. And it's not about covering up the taste. It's about bringing out the taste. And so we need to prepare the meat. Third, what kind of heat source are we going to be using? Now, I will tell you that whenever I started out to do this episode, I almost called this episode Grilling the Perfect Steak. But honestly, there are other options. I have gotten really good results from using a cast iron skillet, heated to screaming hot under a broiler, taking the skillet out, dropping the steak in the skillet, and putting it back under the broiler, doing 2 or 3 minutes under the broiler, bringing it out, flipping it for another minute or two, and calling it done. But normally, I grill it. And so with grills, as is with everything else, there are a variety of types and price points. You can go from around $50 or less to over $1,000. So let's talk about those real quickly. So first, there's salamander or broiler type gas grills that those are very expensive, but they apply the heat from the top instead of the bottom, and they mimic the type of cooking and quality from top-of-the-line steakhouses. So if you've ever been to a steakhouse where you're going to spend upward to $100 for a steak or even more, you know, chances are they had one of those type of grills. And if you're really, really serious about it, you may want to do that. That is the first type, a broiler type gas grill. Now, secondly, that, you know, we can get into charcoal grills. Charcoal grills go from really cheap, $50 or less, to up to several hundred dollars for something like the Big Green Egg or something like that. And many men swear by them as being the most authentic way to get the best flavor and smoke whenever it comes to preparing a steak. A lot of folks, man, it's got to be charcoal, nothing but. Now, the biggest problem with that is going to be the time that it takes to start the fire, time to get it up to temperature, and the ability to manage your temperature. And so there are some pros to charcoal grills, but there are some disadvantages to charcoal grills. And finally, there are gas grills. Now, I personally like gas grills just for the convenience, the time saving, the ability to control the fire and the hot spots on the grill. I try to make up for the fact that you don't have that smoke factor. I provide a little smoke to the mix by using a little stainless steel chip box that I set on the grill surface in the corner. And I either use pecan or some type of fruit tree wood chips. I'll tell you, apple works great. Cherry works great. Anything that you want to do with regard to that. I start these whenever I start the fire. And I let them get smoky while the grill is heating up and getting up to temperature. In any event, whatever you use and whatever heat source you use, the steak should be placed on a hot, already hot surface. You should get it hot before you ever put the steak on it. Allow it to develop a nice brown caramelization that tastes good, and it also looks good. You know, getting those nice grill marks. You know, it's important for us to remember we eat with our eyes before our tongue ever touches it. So, you know, that caramelization, those grill marks, it's not just about making it taste good. It's also about making it look good. Now, fourth, how do you like your steak cooked? Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you, I am the Christian American man. And so as the Christian American man, I like my steak rare to medium rare. Or as I like to tell folks, I want it to still have a fighting chance. I told a server one time that I wanted mine to be able to, for me to pray for it and it get better. So I think that this produces the most tender and flavorful steak. But again, others have different preferences. Others don't want to see the pink. They don't want to see the blood. I get it. So It will take some practice, but just know that you can get to the point where you can determine how to cook your steak to your preference as well as others to their preferences. So it does take some practice, but the easiest way to know the doneness of steak is by the firmness of the meat on the outside. In other words, you don't have to cut it. You don't have to stick a fork in it. You can just know by the firmness. Now, there is a trick called the finger test that gives you an idea of how done a steak is. And this is the way that works. So if you look at your hand as it is open, the fleshy part of your open hand below the thumb feels like a rare steak whenever your hand is open. And then whenever you touch the tip of your thumb to your forefinger, it feels like a medium rare steak when you touch that area of your hand. And then if you go to the middle finger and touch your middle finger and thumb together and touch that fleshy part, it gets a little firmer still, and it feels more like a medium. And then whenever you get to it, you then can touch your ring finger to your thumb and touch that fleshy part of your hand, and it feels more like medium well. And then with the pinky, whenever you touch the pinky and the thumb together, if you'll touch that that fleshy part of your hand, it gets pretty firm there. And then you can tell that that's what well done looks like. So that's a really good trick. And if you want to see a depiction of that, it's easy to find on the internet. You can just Google it. But it's a great trick. And once you get that down, you can kind of figure out how to cook a steak to the level of doneness that you want as well as what others want. Now, I've done the first four. Let's talk about the fifth. The fifth step is cutting the steak. Now, the steak's done. We've seasoned it. We've cooked it. We've made sure that everything's the way we want it. Now it's up to getting it into a situation where you can put it in your mouth and eat it. So the first thing you need to do is invest in a decent set of sharp steak knives so it gives the impression of a tender cut. You know, I mentioned earlier that it is about appearance as well as about taste. And part of this is a head game. You know, if you have a dull knife, even a tender steak is going to look tough to you whenever you start trying to cut it up. So invest in a good set of sharp steak knives that it gives the impression of a tender cut whenever you cut it. Also, let the steak rest after it's come off the heat for at least 5 minutes or even longer if you can, because what that allows to happen is the meat cools down a little bit, the outside surface tightens up a little bit, and the juices won't try to escape when you cut into it. As I stated earlier, cutting perpendicular to the grain is better when possible. So you want to cut that up, and you want to make it as delectable as it can be and as tender as it can be, and you will enjoy that steak. So I will tell you that after having gone through this, just know this. We as a people have been cooking and eating steak for literally thousands of years. So I know we can do this. I know you can do this. So let's get some meat, let's get some fire, and let's feed the family. Enjoy it. So that's all I have today. So please share this podcast with someone. Leave a review on the podcast app of your choice, and be sure to subscribe. Also, please check out ChristianAmericanMan.com for a chance to get a free copy of the Christian American Manifesto and to purchase some of my books, including my most recent novel, The Starvation Box. This book follows the fictional account of a man from the greatest generation as he builds a life from nothing to something and continues to be a man that sees the needs of his family even from beyond the grave. It's also available at Amazon and Kindle version. So if you're in need of a good inspiring read during the COVID-19 pandemic, I encourage you to give it a try. That's The Starvation Box by Philip D. Wilson. So until next week, make sure that you are the Christian American man that God, your country, and your family needs. Take care, and God bless.